Amen. Well, of the seven churches in Asia, only two were not rebuked by the Lord, and that were Smyrna, the suffering church, and also Philadelphia. And of these two, only Philadelphia was actually praised by the Lord. Not only not rebuked by the Lord, but she was praised by the Lord, appreciated by the Lord. The Lord even declared that he will cause those from the synagogue of Satan to come to fall prostrate before the feet of Philadelphia and to cause them to know that he has loved her. How sweet it is for the Lord to say, I have loved you. Amen. Philadelphia, I have loved you. Amen. All the enemies will know, all your opposers will know, I have loved you. Amen. Philadelphia is the church according to the Lord's heart. Philadelphia is what the Lord loves, is what the Lord desires. Saints, may the Lord speak to us tonight concerning this church, which is according to his heart, according to his love. We want to be also able to say, I love Philadelphia.
Amen.
I desire Philadelphia.
Amen.
I don't want to be any other church, but just Philadelphia.
Amen.
We know Philadelphia was raised up as a reaction to the apostate Catholicism prefigured by Thyatira, and also of the dead and dying Protestant church prefigured by Sardis. Catholicism has deviated from God's word, has brought in the leaven to mix in to the fine flour, has departed from the pure word of God to become an apostasy. Sardis, prefiguring the Protestant church, is dead and dying and incomplete in all her works. And as a reaction, the Lord raised up the church in Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. We know in history, that's what happened. After 1,000 years of dark ages under the rule of the Roman Catholic Church, and even after the few hundred years under the Reformation by Luther, but that work was never completed. That had a good start. There was a recovery, but never complete. Sardis was the beginning of the Lord's recovery, but it was not a complete recovery. It was a partial recovery. The Lord's recovery has to go on to completion and even to the consummation, as we will see more tomorrow. We cannot leave the work undone, half-baked. The Lord wants to bring his people, to bring his church, all the way to the completion, to the finalization, to the consummation of his heart's desire. He needs Philadelphia. Well, historically, we know what happened in the early 1800s. In Ireland, the Lord raised up just a few believers who were touched by the Lord's heart concerning the brethren, the believers. They had a heart to love all the believers, regardless of their denominational background, their religious belief. As long as they are believers, they just love them. And by their going into the Word, they realize that Christ only has one body. Christ's body cannot be divided. All the believers are parts of this one body. And also they realize that all the members of the body, they are living and they can function. And their function cannot be replaced by any kind of clergy class, any kind of religious officials. They began to come together to pray, to break bread. Just, they call themselves brothers. No pastor so-and-so, no clergyman so-and-so, but just brothers. That began the Lord's move in England among this group of men. They call themselves brothers. And later on, the Lord began to gradually added more brothers like that, forsaking all their denominational background, just coming together, forsaking their, some were lords, some had particular positions, particular statuses, but they forsook all those, all the statuses, and came together and broke bread, and they recognized that there's no need of any kind of class, of clergymen, any kind of religious professional group, but just meeting as brothers, exercising the gift the Lord, the head, has given to his body, and ministering one to another. The Lord bless the brothers. Amen. And as history tells us, that so-called movement, if we call that, was more powerful than the movement of Reformation. Brothers such as John Nelson Darby, John Newton, many great teachers, the Lord also helped them to be delivered. They saw through the formalism of Christendom, and they would forsook all those affiliation and came together with these brothers. And the Lord poured out his blessing upon this group of brothers. Apparently, outwardly speaking, they were not much in terms of in the outward way, even comparing to Reformation. They were not as well publicized, not as well known, not as much supported and backed even by government, by political powers, as in the Reformation movement. They were just a group of brothers, nobody, but just coming together, forsaking all their statuses, just coming and functioning as members, as brothers, one of another. And the Lord released the light, the revelation of his word, as never before. History tells us the revelation of the word came through these brothers who were like waterfalls. Was like torrent flowing out, light after light, revelation after revelation. Reformation was assisted by a lot of propaganda, printing press, by a lot of even political influence. But here with this group of brothers, many hardly know who they were. Like John Nelson Darby, he never had a picture taken. He refused to have any photos. These men, they forsook the world. They forsook any kind of affiliation, any influence of the world. They love one another. They love the Word of God. Amen. They love the name of Jesus. Amen. That's all they care for. The Lord's blessing was so much, unprecedented. They were the fulfillment of Philadelphia. And we know among us, Brother Watchman Nee received much help from these brothers. And he stood on their shoulders. All the riches that they have recovered, they have become our foundation. They have rendered much help to us. We thank the Lord for these brothers. Of course, unfortunately, their history only lasted for about a quarter century. There was the prevailingness among them, but after a while, they also got distracted by knowledge to become lukewarm, to become contented, as we also see at the end. After Philadelphia, there's also the possibility of becoming Laodicea. That is the lukewarm church, a recovered, yet a fallen church. Dear brothers and sisters, tonight we come to this wonderful church that the Lord desires, that the Lord loves, Philadelphia. In history, we saw that was fulfilled with this group of brothers simply called brothers. And this has to be continued. This also needs to be fulfilled among us. Of course, in many ways, as I said, we followed their footsteps. We built on their foundation. And by the Lord's mercy, I think we are still kept on this line of the brothers. But we should not assume that just because, you know, we are kind of on this line that we are safe. We may not be as safe as you think. Even as those brothers, at one point, after a number of years, they drifted, they became lukewarm, there is also a possibility for us to drift away. We do need to be reminded. We do need this word to be re-spoken to us concerning what the Lord wants to gain in the church in Philadelphia. He must have Philadelphia. As he says, as he promised, I come quickly. It is to the church in Philadelphia. It's only to this church he made such a promise, he will come quickly. Dear saints, as our brother Ron pointed out this morning, our time is short. None of us can tell what day, what year. But I believe in all our spirit, we sense the end of this age is very close. But what will bring in that consummation, what will bring in the Lord's return, is Philadelphia. Amen. It's to the church in Philadelphia, he promised, I come quickly. I don't think there's time, at least from one angle, I don't think there is time for the Lord to go to another people to raise up the Philadelphia. In one sense, you may say, we are the best the Lord has right now. In spite of how imperfect, how short we are, that's the best the Lord has right now. But we should not assume, we should not take for granted that everything is safe. We need the word tonight from this epistle to be warned, to be quickened, to be charged, also to be encouraged. Let us be Philadelphia. Amen. This is the church the Lord desires to gain. Let me just begin with the outline and we can speak more. Point one says, as a sign, the church in Philadelphia prefigures the church of brotherly love, the recovery of the proper church life from the early part of the 19th century to the second appearing of the Lord. Number two, in Greek, Philadelphia means brotherly love. Isn't this wonderful? There is such a church called brotherly love. This word is comprised of two words. Okay, now A says the components of the Greek word Philadelphia mean to have affection for and a brother, hence a brotherly affection, a love characterized by delight and pleasure. Brotherly love. We just love one another as brothers. Amen. Saints, tonight, the first thing I want to let you know is that you are brother.
Amen.
I am a brother.
Amen.
The Lord hates us being called anything else. Remember the Lord's word in Matthew 23, verse 8. Don't let anyone call you rabbi. The Lord says, you are all brothers.
Amen.
You're not a teacher. You're not a father.
Amen.
You're not a master. You are all brothers.
Amen.
You know, many times we take for granted, we just call each other, oh, brother so-and-so, you know. We think that's just how we call it. You know, this is just our custom. But if you really come to read the word again, you will realize how precious is this word, brothers.
Amen.
The Lord hates someone to be called a master, a father, a rabbi. You know, Christianity, in Catholic Church, you have the clergy, you have the fathers, they call father so-and-so. And also in Protestantism, you have pastor so-and-so. These are, in God's eyes, they are abominable. No one should be called fathers. No one should be called pastors. Or even among us, brothers, some, I know maybe not as much in the West, some in the Far East, you know, some saints will call brother, the elder brother, elder brothers, elder so-and-so, elder Chen, elder Wong. Brothers, even the elders, they are not any kind of a special rank. Elders are brothers.
Amen.
Don't let anyone call you some kind of a position, rank. You know, some of us, we are serving as functioning as co-workers, but don't call us co-worker James, co-worker Ron. We are brothers.
Amen.
Don't think that co-worker is somebody. Co-workers are brothers. The Lord has given us particular burden and certain function that we can serve the Lord's body. But in terms of status, in terms of position, we are all brothers.
Amen.
I really treasured the Lord's word there on the morning of his resurrection in John 20, when Mary came to him. The Lord told her, Mary, go to tell my brothers. I will go to ascend to my Father, who is your Father, my God, who is your God. How sweet the Lord told Mary to go to tell not his disciples, not his followers, but to his brothers.
Amen.
The Lord calls us his brothers.
Amen.
He is the eldest brother. He is the firstborn. We are the many born of God. We are Christ's many brothers.
Amen.
Then the sisters may say, well, what are we then? You are also brothers.
Amen.
Sorry, we have no sisters. In God's economy, there are no sisters. We have brother brothers, sister brothers. We're all brothers. It's true. Brothers is not a name. Practice to address one another in the church life. Brothers means that one refers to ones who have been born of God, who has been regenerated by the life of God. Everyone, male and female, as soon as they are born of God, they're regenerated by the life of God, he or she is a brother.
Amen.
Sisters, amen? Are you brothers?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight is all brothers meeting. This is a brothers meeting. All brothers. Christ is our elder brother. We shouldn't think this is a small matter. In those days, just those few brothers forsaking all their ranks, all their titles, all their religious affiliation, and they dropped all that behind them and came together as nobody but just brothers. Following exactly how what the Lord says. We are brothers. Although in function, there may be some who are ministering the word, who are serving in this capacity, that capacity. But in terms of our status, we are all brothers. Isn't that sweet? Even in Revelation, the Apostle John, in verse 9 of chapter 1, he says what? I, John, your brother. Here is a 90-plus-year-old brother, one who is a life witness of the Lord, full of experience. In terms of status, he had definitely had status. In terms of maturity, but here he says, I, John, your brother. Amen. We have to see who we are. We should not call us brothers, one another brothers, in a way just take for granted. This is just how we address each other. I hope that the Lord will recover this. Even when we call one another brothers, we are full of feelings, full of this realization. We are genuinely brothers. We all have been born of God, regenerated by the life of God, and with the life of God, we are truly brothers. Amen. So this is Philadelphia. These are brothers, but not just brothers, but brothers loving one another. This is a church of brotherly love. We are not here as comrades, associates, colleagues. We are brothers, Amen. Loving one another. B says, in godliness, which is the expression of God, this love needs to be supplied for the brotherhood, for our testimony to the world, and for the bearing of fruit. In 2 Peter 1, Peter talks about the development of the seed of life within us from one virtue to another. Came to the matter of in godliness, we need to be supplied with brotherly love. And then with brotherly love, love. Godliness means God-likeness, means the expression of God. To be godly means to have a life that expresses God. And for this expression of God, love is needed. Love needs to be supplied for the brotherhood. Dear saints, we all are brothers. And among us, we have this brotherhood. What is a brotherhood? Brotherhood is the totality. It is the aggregate. It is the family of brothers. In the footnote, if you read in 1 Peter chapter 2, Brother Lee even says, this brotherhood involves brothers as the family of brothers in the feeling of brotherliness. There's a feeling of brotherliness. When we call one another, each other, brothers, there should be a feeling of brotherliness. We are in a brotherhood. Let brotherly love continue. Amen. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. Every church life should be a brotherhood. It's a collection, it's an aggregate, it's a family of brothers. We are not just some kind of just church members. We are all just Christians ascribed to a certain church, had our membership in a certain church. No, we are all brothers in a brotherhood. And when we call each other brothers, we are full of the feeling of brotherliness. And the Lord says, when these brothers, when we love one another, the world will know that the Father has sent the Son. Our testimony to the world is through our loving one another in this brotherhood. And also, it is the condition for our bearing fruit. According to John 15, if we love one another, we will bear fruit. The fruitfulness. We all like to bear fruit these days. We want to see new ones saved, new ones added to the church. But the key is not just to work harder. The key first is to love the brothers. If you love one another, the world will know the Father has sent the Son. If we love one another, our fruits will remain. Point C says, the church in Philadelphia prophetically depicts the church of brotherly love, that is, the proper church life. The church of brotherly love was a reaction to the dead Reformed church. The church of brotherly love started in the early part of the 19th century when the brothers were raised up in England to practice the church life outside the system of sects and divisions, and it will continue until the Lord comes back. Amen. So that was being fulfilled by the so-called brethren or the brothers in England in the early 1800s. Now, point D, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Amen. He who does not love abides in death. Saints, do you love me? Amen. I love you. Amen. We should say to the one next to us, brother, I love you. Don't just say it because I tell you to, ask you to. I hope from your heart you really have a feeling of brotherliness. This is a strong word, actually, where the Apostle John tells us, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. We know another verse in the New Testament also tells us about our passing out of death unto life. That is in the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 24. That when we believe in the Lord, when we hear the Lord's word and we believe in him, then we know that we have passed out of death into life. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we believe in the Lord's word. We believe into him by faith. But also, this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 tells us, we know we pass out of death into life because we love the brothers. Now, let me just read on. Now, point one says, to pass out of death into life is to pass out of the source, the essence, the element, and the sphere of death into the source, the essence, the element, and the sphere of life. This took place in us at our regeneration. When we first believe into the Lord, we were transferred from one realm to another, from the realm of death into the realm of life. We pass out of death into life simply by believing in the Lord. That took place through our believing. Now, number two says, love, that's the love of God, toward the brothers is a strong evidence that we have passed out of death into life. You know, many times we like to tell us, how do you know you are saved? You will say, the Bible tells me so. I prayed, I call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, I am saved. That's factual. That's scriptural. I believe that. But you also, beside basing on a fact, we need some evidence experientially to confirm to us that we are saved. We have the life of God. This evidence is by our loving the brothers. Amen. We can boldly say, everyone who is genuinely born of God, he loves the brothers. Amen. Isn't this your experience? When we first got saved, there was just an unexplainable feeling within us. When you meet another Christian, there is something you just want to go out to them. Oh, brother, you just like to embrace him. Oh, brother, it's so good to meet you. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. And you love the Lord too.
Amen.
You just have an unexplainable feeling that you love the brothers. How can you say you love God, the one whom you believe, yet you don't love the ones who are born of God? As I said, we are not colleagues here. We are not just friends here. We are not some associates here. We are brothers. Being born of God, born of the same life from our Heavenly Father. Sometimes I don't even know. I don't know how you feel. I know in my own experience, the brothers in the church, even closer than my brothers in the flesh, the family in the flesh. There is something real with this life of God that has been regenerated within us, making us brothers. We are brothers of the Lord. We are brothers one to another. And there is a feeling of brotherliness. And this sense of loving the brothers is a strong evidence that we are born of God. Amen. We are saved. And the opposite is also true. If anyone has a feeling of hating a brother, your salvation is questionable. Are you truly a brother? I would say, maybe not eternally, but instantly, at that moment when you hate certain brother, at that moment you are not born of God. You are not a child of God. You are not saved by God. Because everyone who is born of God, who is saved by God, in God's salvation, he loves the brothers. This is an evidence. So I said this is a strong word declared to us by the apostle. Little A says, faith in the Lord is the way for us to pass out of death into life. Love toward the brothers is the evidence that we have passed out of death into life. To have faith is to receive the eternal life. To love is to live by the eternal life that we have received. Faith gives us the entrance, allowing us to receive the eternal life. And love gives us the way for us to walk, for us to live by this eternal life that we have received. I remember Brother Lee once gave his testimony. One time while he was in China, he was invited by the believers there in Japan to go and visit them to share a word. And as you know, that there was war between Japan and China for some time, and the Chinese suffered very much under the Japanese invasion. Some were tortured, some persecuted by them very much. So inherently, there was a hatred within many Chinese people toward the Japanese because of the sufferings that they went through. And here, Brother Lee was invited by these Japanese believers to go to share with them. And he shared, when he got there, he went there. And, the Japanese, they meet in this, tatami, the mat floor. You know, he had to take off his shoes and very much against how Brother Lee would like to minister. But he said something just welled up within him that he loved these Japanese brothers. I mean, humanly, because of the kind of background, there is a lot of resentment, there's a lot of hatred, there's a lot of bitter feeling. But yet, he found there's something that welled up within him that wanted to embrace those Japanese brothers, not because of the outward factors, but because we are all born of God. Amen. We are brothers. Amen. It doesn't matter if you are Chinese brothers, Japanese brothers, American brothers. We are brothers. Amen. Period. Amen. Don't say I love good brothers. I love smart brothers. I love obedient brothers. The Lord says, love the brothers. Amen. Don't pick and choose the brothers that you like according to your preference. The Lord wants us to, because we all have been born of God, this is the chief evidence that we are born of God, is that we love the brothers. I know in our mind, in our mentality, we have a lot of struggle. We, you know, that because of a different culture, different habits, different disposition, you know, we struggle with that. I recognize that. But when you would turn back to your spirit, there is a spot in you where the love of God is. Amen. When you would put aside what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your feeling, you would touch that spot in your spirit, the love of the brothers is there. Amen. If you are genuinely a one who is born of God, you love the brothers. Amen. We can boldly say this. This is a ironclad proof. So if anyone has kind of a hatred, that is also an evidence you are not born of God. At least at that moment, if you that kind of a hatred. Hatred of the brothers is not from God, it's from the enemy. It's from Satan, who is the source of all the hate. See, says, such unspeakable love can issue only from genuine faith. A person loves for no other reason than the fact that the other person is a brother, period. Right? You don't need any kind of modifiers, just they are brothers. There is an unspeakable feeling and taste toward each other. This feeling and taste are a proof that we have passed out of death into life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can genuinely say, brothers, I love you. Amen. I may not be happy with the way you do things, your habit, your disposition, but according to that spot in my spirit, that love of God that has been sown into me, I love you. I love you as brothers because we all are born of God. We are brothers. Number 3 says, not loving the brothers is evidence that one is not living by the essence and the element of the divine love and is not remaining in the sphere of that love. In this we know love, that he laid down his life on our behalf, and we ought to lay down our lives on behalf of the brothers. Our love for the brothers need to go this far, to be willing to lay down our lives for the brothers. Well, in a practical sense, we may not necessarily lay down our physical life. But I would say a lot of opportunities requiring us to lay down our psychological life, denying ourselves, putting aside our soul life for the sake of the brothers. When a group of brothers came together to fellowship, to make decision on certain matters, different opinions, different directions came out. At that moment, how do we practice the brotherly love? If we love one another, we should be willing to lay down our life. Lay down put aside our preference, our opinion, ourself, for the sake of the brothers. Isn't this what oneness is about? How do we have the practical oneness among us if we are not willing to sacrifice our opinion, our preferences, our choices? If each one of us, we insist in our way, in our convenience, in our habit, how can the Lord gain the oneness? In the recovery, we stress the matter of oneness very much. But our oneness is not because of a conformity to certain rules or certain teachings. The oneness, the genuine oneness, is based on the fact that we are brothers and loving one another. We love the brothers. You know, these days, the election is over. I mean, as you know, as we follow through this, it was just a zoo out there. You know, every day, each one is firing away, just launching out the cannon, launching out the firepower, shooting down the other parties. And then now, the president is elected. Now, everybody shook hands. Now, we have to keep the country together, right? We have to heal. We have to come together. Everything seems, we cannot allow this to continue. So on the surface, everything seems to be, now is okay. Everybody saying some pretty nice words to each other. Do you think that oneness is out of the love for each other? Or that oneness is because, you know, this is America. We have to work together. Well, of course, it's better than just keep firing away, right? At least there's some kind of honor, some kind of respect to try to, you know, keep some peaceful situation. But there is not the genuine love. Brothers, our keeping of the oneness in the churches, in the Lord's recovery, should not be because of certain ordinance among us, certain regulation that we should respect, we should follow. The Lord needs to cause us to see, here we are brothers. We should have the feeling of brotherliness. And as brothers, we love one another from our heart. And out of this love, we're willing to even sacrifice our soul life, ourselves, for one another. Only here there is a possibility for the genuine oneness. Otherwise, we outwardly try to conform to certain requirements, certain kind of standard of oneness, but inwardly there's all these grumbling, there's all these unhappiness, and there's all these grudges. Oh, may the Lord make us today's Philadelphia. Amen. Brothers loving one another. Amen. First, we must see we are brothers. Amen. Elders are brothers. Co-workers are brothers. Amen. Sisters are brothers. We are all, as long as we are all born of God, we receive the life of God, we are brothers. Amen. And because of this life of God that is within us, we can genuinely say, I love you, brother. Not because of the outward element that you are exactly my type, you're exactly, you know, the same kind of background, but just because you are born of God. The very life of God that is in you is the same that is in me. So we love the brothers. A love for the brothers is a willingness to lay ourselves aside to serve them. And B, to love the brothers is to be willing to deny oneself for the perfection of others and to have a heart that is willing to lay down one's own life for his brothers. Dear Saints, wasn't it wonderful when Brother Lee was with us? He never asked us to call him Apostle Lee. Who among the leaders in Christianity would just simply would like to be called brother? Here's a man who is called Brother Lee. When I was with him, I was half his age, and here I call him Brother Lee. He never would like to be called anything else, just a brother. I mean, to us, in a very practical sense, he is the apostle sent by God to bring the recovery to this country. To many, he is a spiritual father to so many, who has given us our spiritual existence, our spiritual supply, yet he is our brother. So let's forget about whatever ranks you may have. You may be a coordinator, a service group leader. Just remember, you are just a brother. Amen. And there should be a feeling, a sense of brotherliness among us. We are in this brotherhood. And this brotherhood needs love. There's this particular matter, brothers, it mentioned in the New Testament again and again. Please read. I don't have the time to go into to develop this matter, but I would encourage you to go back to study this matter a little bit more in depth. Brotherly love, the brotherhood, is repeatedly stressed in the New Testament. We are living, existing in a brotherhood. And in this brotherhood, there needs to be a sense of brotherliness for us to have the godliness that we should have for the expression of God. Okay, now we come to the third point. I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. It is so interesting that with this church in Philadelphia, the Lord says, I know your works, just like he did with the church in Ephesus, right? I know your works, your labor, your endurance. And here in Philadelphia, the Lord also says, I know your works. That means the church in Philadelphia was not lazy, was not passive. They were also serving. They were also working. The Lord recognized that. But the Lord did not try to exalt or try to point out anything they did. You hardly knew, what did they do? Not unlike the church in Ephesus, where he pointed out, you have the labor, you have the endurance, you are able to discern the false apostles, you cannot stand the evil man, and then, you have labor and endurance for my name's sake. But I have this against you. But here in Philadelphia, the Lord just says, I know your works. I have put before you an open door that no one can shut. It seems that as you are laboring for the Lord, how you did really is not that much. It does not matter that much. As you are laboring for the Lord, it's me who is opening the door for you. It's not about the success of your work. It's not about how hard, how diligent, how impactful, how efficient is your work. The blessing is from him who gives the open door. Our work is just a channel. Our work is just a channel to allow him to bring in the blessing. It's not about what we have done, what we have accomplished. The Lord knows our work. We are not just passively not doing anything as we are serving. But the focus, the attention is not what we did. What have we accomplished? Our testimony is the Lord has opened for us an open door.
Amen.
That's all. That's all we can say. It's not about my diligence. It's not about my zeal, my work. It's about Him giving us an open door that no one can shut, because we have just a little power. And we kept His word and have not denied His name. He says, as the one who has the key of David and who opens and no one can shut, the Lord has given the recovered church an open door which no one can shut. This is the testimony of Philadelphia. Our testimony should never be how much I have done, how much I have worked. Our testimony uniquely is, Lord, thank you for the open door. I can't forget that one time I went to see Brother Lee for a certain matter, and he invited me to his study. And before I was able to, tell him what I wanted to fellowship, he was very happy that day. And he just showed me the whole stack of letters on the file, on the table. He said, James, all these are letters of appreciation. The whole world is open to this ministry. The whole world is open to the Lord's recovery. Asking me to send this one there, send this one there. I mean, he just said, there's open doors on the whole earth. It's open, crying out for help, wanting to receive help. But then at the same time, he just told me also, he said, but I know the Lord is not happy for me to be big. He wants me to be small. So he said, if I want to do a good, big work, I can. Look at all the open doors I have. But yet he realized the Lord was not happy for him to be big, just to be small. Well, after that, I forgot what I was going to ask him to all the questions. I was just very much help, just to see, well, on the one hand, the Lord has granted the open door to his ministry, to his way, to the Lord's recovery. But at the same time, our brother also realized we are nothing. We are not here trying to promote ourselves, project ourselves, impress others with something. We are still small. We are Philadelphia. We are just a little power. The Lord is the one who opens the door. No man can shut. He is the one who opened these doors for his blessing. It's not about me. It's not about anyone. It is him who is opening all these doors for us. And the same was true with the British brothers. God gave them open doors. As I mentioned, unlike the Reformation, who was assisted even by a lot of political power, right, by the government, by the German government, to carry out that Reformation movement. With the brothers, there was no such assistance, just a group of common brothers. No ranks, no statuses, but the Lord poured out the blessing. The revelation of his word was just like a torrent of water, just pouring out like waterfall. And doors were open everywhere, all over the world, for people hungry, seeking for the word, coming to them. As the Lord's recovery in the line of Philadelphia, we have to learn this. It's not because of my diligence, of my doing something. Of course, we should not be lazy. We have to serve. We have to carry out our duty. But we also realize that He is the one who opens doors. all over America, all over the world. He opened the doors. And today, it is still true. Dear brothers, of course, including the sisters, when I say this, right? Sisters, brothers, brothers, brothers. The doors are open to the recovery. The open doors to the recovery, to the Lord's way. As long as we are Philadelphia. As long as we are that group of people that love the brothers, that love one another, the world will know, right? And his blessing is with us. He has the key of David, the key of David. Little one says, since the recovery of the proper church life began, in the early part of the 19th century, a door has always been opened wide to the Lord's recovery. Although many opposers have risen up against the Lord's recovery and have tried to shut the door, Christ is the one who has the key of David, and what he opens, no one can shut.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is our testimony. Among us, in our history, there has been many opposition, outward opposition, outside opposition, and also inside rebellion, dissension. In spite of all that, dear saints, the Lord, as the one who has the key of David, he kept the door open. What he opens, no one can shut. The opposers cannot shut. All the ones, dissenting ones in our history, they try. Do this, say that, say this. They cannot shut the door. You know, as we were in the heat, in the peak of turmoil in the late 80s, 87, 88, I was there quite close to where Brother Lee was. And he was the target of attack. And Brother Lee just testified to us, look at all these cannons, all these firepower shooting at him. I mean, even many of us, we could not stand. It was just too much to bear. And Brother Lee said, I can sleep very well every night because I know this is the Lord's recovery. Outwardly is targeting toward him. But he realized, I'm nothing. This is the Lord's recovery. If this thing can be shot down, then it should be shot down. But if this is the Lord's recovery, no one can shut it down.
Amen.
And praise the Lord.
Amen.
A brother has been gone away from us for nearly 20 years, and the recovery is still here.
Amen.
Has not shut down yet.
Hallelujah.
And we believe as long as we are Philadelphia, no one can shut us down. Because we have the one who has the key of David, right? He opens door, no one can shut. Now we come to another point, very crucial point. B says, one outstanding feature of the church in Philadelphia is that she keeps the Lord's word. The Catholic Church has put leaven into the fine flour, has mixed up the God's word. They have become an apostasy. And Protestantism has become superficial, shallow to the uttermost. Never really care for God's word in the pure way. And now the Lord has, by his mercy, he has come to us. In the line of Philadelphia, as those who love the brothers, as those who love the word of God. And his revelation, his word has been opened up to us unprecedentedly, as never before. Dear brothers, I don't think is proud to say we have the richest of the word is we have reach, we have the richest, the top, the best of the opening of the Word of God among all the Christians today. This is not a boast or bragging in any way. This is just a fact. But brothers, with the church in Philadelphia, there is an outstanding characteristic with that church, is that they kept the word. They held fast the word. They remain with the word. They will not compromise with the word. They will not allow the word to be diluted. This means the truth that has been passed on to us is absolute, is untainted, is pure. Don't try to water it down. Don't try to say, well, this truth is too high. Let's bring it down to a more understandable level, to a more pragmatic level. We've been cheated by our pragmatism. You want to be practical, pragmatic, by trading the Word of God in his full standard and value. The church in Philadelphia, they kept the word. This is an outstanding feature. Today we are here as a continuation in this line of the Philadelphia. The word has been opened to us. The word has been poured out to us. You know, even the youngest among us, even high schoolers, what you know is much more than some of the theologians out there, some of the theological professors out there. But the challenge is today, are you willing to hold fast, to continue, to remain in these things? You know, toward the end of that epistle, the Lord told the church, hold fast what you have, lest someone take your crown. In other words, you already received the crown. You know, with Smyrna, they are going to receive the crown. But with Philadelphia, the crown has already been given. Don't let anyone take your crown. But you have to hold fast what you have. Brother Watchman Nee, in his book, The Glorious Church, spoke a very strong word, a sobering word. He says, the danger today is not so much in making more progress in the truth, but the danger is in our regressing. Our concern should not be how I can make more progress. Our concern is, Lord, save me from regressing. Deliver me from regressing. Many of you, brothers and sisters, you went through the full-time training for 2 years. You had gotten a great deposit, a wonderful deposit. Don't let anyone rob that from you. You say, I'm not going, I have trouble going on further. I have trouble moving on more to get more. Don't worry about getting more. Just hold fast what you have. What we have actually is so much. It's so much. I mean, look at what's coming out, 7 feasts, you know, time at a time we come together. All the riches that is on our shelf that we have heard, we have listened to, we have seen. But are we remaining in those things? We are in danger of not holding fast, of losing or regressing. With the church in Philadelphia, this is the charge to them, hold fast what you have. You know, we in the recovery, in the Lord's recovery, you know, conference after conference, all the speaking, we brothers are endeavoring to speak, to re-speak, re-re-speak, re-re-re-speak, all these things. And some of you heard, you hear, you re-hear, re-re-hear, you hear. And after some time, you seem to feel, oh, God's economy again? The High Peak Truth again? Is there anything else? Your ears may become dull of hearing because you have heard so much. You are in the danger, not in not making progress, but in losing what you have. I'm fearful, even for myself, as one who, you know, we have the responsibility to minister the word. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm afraid to speak the message that I know. You know, if you know what I mean. If I've spoken, I know what I'm supposed to say, then I have spoken this number of times, so I know what to say. I'm afraid of that. I'm always in exercising, Lord. I don't care for just repeating, you know, making sure everything will be given out right, correct, you know, beautifully packaged and everything. Lord, I just want you. I just want you. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because sometimes there is a temptation because of we know, then we just either we become numb or we just rehash in a kind of a routine way. I can see this charge, this little word, hold fast what you have. Keep the word. In fact, the word there in with this epistle is the word of endurance, right? What is the word of endurance? That means after you hear it 10 times, 20 times, you are enduring. You hear it one more time. Tonight, God's economy. Amen. God's dispensing. Amen. Endure one more time. Amen. Endure one more week. The word of his endurance. Amen. I was touched by Ron's speaking this morning. Indeed, saints, our race is coming to an end very soon. Our journey is coming to an end. We don't know the exact time, but our sense is the Lord's coming is indeed very close. How are we going to finish this last leg of this race? Are we going to get tired, get bored, and then drop the race? Or do we take the word of endurance and keep hearing, keep speaking, continue in the things that we are hearing and finish this course? May it be another 10 years, 20 years. I don't know how long, but it cannot be that much longer. But may the Lord strengthen our knees, strengthen our hands, that we may pick up to keep running, either till we meet him alive, or if we have to go through death, but it won't be that long. Philadelphia. Amen. Philadelphia. Amen. I will come quickly. Amen. It's to this church the Lord promised. He will come quickly. We need to take care of his word. The Lord even says, although he says, I know your works. They did something, but it's not something that is worth even mentioning what they did. It's not about how much, how great, but they work. That's good enough. I have given you an open door. And you just hold fast. You have to keep my words. The Lord's word is of foremost importance. I hope, brothers and sisters, that we will not take the Lord speaking for granted. Even though you may have heard again and again, we ask the Lord to give us the spirit of endurance, to take the word of endurance, and treasure the word, and be humbled and be emptied before the Lord every time we come to his word. I think in Gold Coast, Brother Minoru had a particular burden, came to this portion. He touched on 2 Peter chapter 1. our attitude in coming to the word. We need to come to the prophetic word. Take heed to the prophetic word. That until, as a lamp that shines in the dark place, until the morning star arises in our heart. Dear brothers and sisters, especially many young brothers and sisters, read the word. Amen. Read the Bible every day. Not just read in a kind of a routine way. As you read, take it as a lamp coming to the Lord to let Him shine on you. Let Him shine into you until the morning star arises in your heart. We need to read the word. But also, I would charge you to read also the ministry of the word. It is through the ministry, the Bible, God's word, is being opened up to us. As you know, you brothers know, we have spoken, you know, many of these messages, many of the content was taken from the book that Brother Nee, the message that Brother Lee gave, Brother Nee gave on the orthodoxy of the church. I believe we have this book in the bookstore, and I would encourage you, pick one up if you don't have one. The Orthodoxy of the Church. If you are serious, you desirous to know the Lord, to know His way, you have to read that book. We need the ministry of the Word. Every day, not only we read the Bible, we can read a page here, a page there. Don't use the excuse to say, I don't have time. If you have time to eat, you have time to sleep, you have time to read a page of the ministry. It doesn't have to be the whole book, all in one setting, but just a page here, a page there. I would say I can testify to you, this is the blessing I receive. Even from my, as a young person growing up, the Lord put in this desire, hunger within me in reading the ministry. In those days, the ministry, the messages came out in a kind of a pamphlet form. In many of the Brother Nee's messages, it was just, you know, in a very convenient form I brought with me to school. And I read it while I was walking. I had about half an hour walk to go to school. And I just read. It was my joy. Sometimes I was jumping, leaping to go to school because the ministry was made me so happy. Amen. And you know, recently the serving ones at Living Stream Ministry reported to us that you know, there has been a decline of the subscription or the purchase of the ministry material, and that has troubled any of the co-workers concerned. We hope that this is not, that should not be the trend. As we go on in the Lord's recovery, we should love the Lord's word more and more. Amen. We love to read the Bible. We also love to read the ministry. And I can tell you, even though today Brother Lee is not with us, he has been gone nearly 20 years, but by reading his ministry, I feel like he is with me all the time. I really do. I'm still receiving so much light, so much help, just by remaining in the ministry. Read a page on them. You have life studies. You have the collected works of Witness Lee coming out in a completion, in totality. And we have so many of the messages that were translated from Chinese and coming out, so helpful, so nourishing, so enlightening. I would just encourage you, brothers, I hope, you know, if we want to be Philadelphia, we have to keep the word. Amen. Read the Bible. Not just in a routine, read in a way to come to allow the light, the lamp, to shine in our heart. Amen. In a dark place until the morning star rises in our heart. Read the ministry. Don't take the Lord speaking today for granted. There is still yet more light and truth to be revealed in His Word. Amen. The words may be the same outwardly. These words are nothing new. They're not from Ron, they're not from me, they're not from any brothers. They are just from the ministry. But every time, I can tell you, it's fresh. Amen. It's new. Amen. It depends on your attitude. Amen. If you are poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of the heavens. Amen. If you are pure in heart, you see God. Amen. In every situation, in every page, in every book, in every message, you will see the Lord. Amen. According to history, no other Christian have kept the Lord's word as strictly as the church in Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia, the recovered church, does not care for tradition. She cares for the word of God. Amen. Now see, the church in Philadelphia keeps the Lord's word with the little power that she has. We should not regard the church in Philadelphia as being strong, powerful, and prevailing. The Lord said that she has a little power. What pleases the Lord is not that we are strong, but that we use a little power to do the best we can. Don't expect to be giant, to be powerful, to be strong in that way. Just use the little power you have. Many of you young working ones, you have four children, you have a very demanding job, you have many demands. You say, I can't handle it. How to give the balance? Maybe I can only give 2 hours a week. They're saying it's not a matter of balance, how you balance your schedule. It's a matter of you give what you have. Your little strength, your little power, the Lord knows. The Lord measures His His situation to us. Some has one child, some have five. I don't know how many, so how many may have seven or eight? Not many these days. But whatever the environment, the Lord measures to us. You may have little power. You may see your strength is limited. Do what you can. Amen. Do what you can. Amen. Don't expect, if I cannot do a great thing, I'm not going to do it. That's wrong. The Lord looks for your little power. Amen. Right? And Philadelphia is a church of little power. Amen. But it's a church that the Lord has given an open door. Amen. And finally, point D, in Revelation 3:8, the Lord says that the church in Philadelphia has not denied His name. This is the other aspect with the church in Philadelphia, that she did not deny the Lord's name. With today's Protestantism, they adopted so many names other than the name of Jesus. With the church they put up, they are called Finnish Church, Wesleyan Church, to identify themselves with so many things, their race, their practice, their hero, their leader. Isn't the name of Jesus good enough? Here, the church in Philadelphia, they did not deny the Lord's name. That means they are not going to adapt other names at the sake of the name of Jesus. Of course, the name denotes the person. As we have been seeing in the past messages, for the orthodoxy of the church, we need to be brought back to the person of the Lord. Amen. He is the only one whom we care for. He is the only one whom we love. We don't need any names. As in all the denominations, they put forth to denominate themselves under so many names. In the Lord's recovery, as a church of Philadelphia, with a little power, we do not deny the Lord's name. And with the Lord's name, we are satisfied. We don't need any other names. The Lord's word is His expression, and the Lord's name is the Lord Himself. The recovered church not only has returned in a full way to the Lord's word, but also has abandoned all names other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't having the Lord Jesus himself good enough? Isn't having the Lord's word good enough? Isn't just by loving the brothers good enough? We don't need all the other things, all the gimmicks, all the methods, all the ways. We just need to love the brothers, keep his word, not deny his name. And the last point, the return to the pure word from all heresies and traditions and the exaltation of the Lord's name by abandoning every other name are the most inspiring testimony in the Lord's, in the recovered church, Philadelphia. Brothers, I love you.
Amen.
We love one another.
Amen.
And we keep the Lord's word.
Amen.
And we do not deny his name.
Amen.
We have a little power. We have nothing that we do seem to be worth mentioning. Nothing great, nothing much of accomplishment. But we hold fast his name. We hold fast, keep his word. We do not deny the Lord's name. This is good enough to us. This is good enough to the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord says, I will cause those who oppose you to come and prostrate before you and to let them, make them know, I have loved you.
Amen.
May we be today's Philadelphia.
Amen.
Continue in this line of Philadelphia.
Amen.
So my last word is, hold fast what you have.
Amen.
Don't belittle what you have.
Right.
Don't trade what you have with excitement, with some more things, more stirring, more exciting, more stimulating. Dear saints, not that far to go. We don't have that much longer to go. May the Lord grant us grace and his mercy to keep his word of endurance.
Amen.
Keep what you have.
Amen.
Hold fast what you have.
Amen.
Lest others will take our crown. Let's pray with each other for a minute, and then we can have some prophesying.